All right. Craig, who's recording? Simon, can you hear me? Still no feedback. Greg, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Tubes.
Nice. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, I can hear you now. Loud and clear.
There we go. Okay. Let's go. So, thanks everybody for coming out. Got a lot going on, and I think we can just jump right into it, I suppose. Throw out an agenda. If anybody has questions, feel free to drop them either in the town hall questions or the chat. People seem to use both. We'll monitor both. I have no preference. Town hall questions channel will track them. I think the chat for the town hall tends to disappear afterwards. So, yeah. Probably we'll just go down the list of topics for the agenda, but may jump around. In fact, yeah, I probably will jump around just because there's some things just kind of like what we're up to these days, what's happening right now. And then I think there's some meatier stuff, especially the one at the top of the list with the lab. That's going to be a fun one. So yeah, running through here, if I'm pretty sure most people have seen, we got the Glitch exhibition up, really amazing write up there by the folks at Glitch Marfa. If you're not familiar, it is run by a few folks, Derek from Collab Currency, Madison, his partner, run it. They're really involved with art blocks and generative art movement and has been a meeting place for kind of the larger art blocks community. And they've been doing these every 30 days exhibitions, featuring very, very well-known artists. First one was X Copy. I have the list here of some of those artist names. It was scrolling up through the announcements here. This is like terrible. Not remembering all these. Okay, so they have had X Copy, CryptoPunk, Snowfro, Claire Silver, Terraforms, Rupe Renisto, Def Beef, Emily C, and Kim Essendorf. So, you know, just a phenomenal list of artists. Really fantastic for BADA to be part of that first year.
They had Tyler Hobbs right before us, no?
Yeah, I left that one out. That was the current one up when I was just before. And it comes with like a really, you know, great essay kind of breaking down what BADA is. So really I strongly encourage people to check it out. Suppose we could get if you just search for Glitch in the announcements, it's a few announcements up. But yeah, the essay I've sent to a few folks who I've talked to about it, and they're like, yeah, I kind of get what BADA is. And then I send them this. And so with some familiarity, this is like a really nice breakdown that especially people are kind of wondering about the artistic merit. Really, really great breakdown. I would still say probably for people who are crypto familiar. But in any case, wonderful essay. There was one aspect in it in particular that stood out to me personally, which was, it's a weird word, so I actually can't ever remember. I'm still like working on remembering what it is called. It's hands. There it is. So they talk about BADA being this example of acuro poeta. I'm just going to like throw that in the chat so that people can see what the word is. Super weird word. I probably should throw it into like a pronunciation tool to hear how you pronounce it. But it's this long tradition what are called artifacts that are produced without hands. So, you know, it's a really nice take on kind of what is BADA as a work in art history and kind of the tradition it lives within. And BADA lives in a number of different traditions, but I really liked that one in particular. I think it brought out a great way of looking at the automation aspects of BADA. And for me personally, it actually inspired some ideas of, like, we've been thinking about like more physical installations of BADA and thinking about like what would be these physical extensions of what BADA is that give people an experience of BADA. I think the kind of the voting format in an exhibition setting doesn't really translate super well, to be honest. And so I think there can be more abstract ways or more direct ways. And one of those is sort of extending BADA's creation without hands. So other forms of automation, kind of extending limbs of BADA, was a really nice frame for me personally in terms of not just exhibitions or installations, but also really evolving BADA. So going back to other types of creation, other mediums to create in. Anyways, I'll stop rambling there. Like, definitely go check out. I'll drop that in the chat as well, just to make it easy for people to find. definitely check it out. It looks like they have like a live stream of it. The main work featured is Interpret Complete, which is collected by Xerox Techno, but they featured a number of different works in the exhibition. They've been putting up some images. We have our own little write-up about it for the monthly roundup that Greg just put out. Last thing I have to say about it, there is a custom edition poster that comes with it that they sell. Botto gets a little cut of that. They produce this all on their own without us. So it was really, really fantastic to see this come up. And yeah, nice to see the poster come out. Pretty sick poster, if you ask me. And so that covers Glitch, what's going on now. We're going to have a few more kind of activations around that. There'll be some like a live Twitter spaces later in the month. We'll be pushing that hard. We'd love to get as many DAO members out there for that. So keep your eyes peeled. That covers Glitch. NFT NYC around the corner, beginning of April. We're cooking up a few activations there. Last 2 weeks, I mean, I guess we've talked about, you know, Botto since this run up. It's been certainly an active couple of weeks. And with that has come a lot of great inbound, you know, and first kind of big event coming up is NFT NYC in terms of ways and places to feature Botto. So if you're going to be in town, keep your eyes peeled for the different activations we're going to be sharing. But very excited for that and very excited for the seeds it's planting for the rest of the year in terms of exhibitions and conferences that Botto will be at. But yeah, definitely. And reach out if you guys are going to be at NFT NYC. We're planning some stuff and would love to know who to be sure to invite. Let's see. Yeah, I think we can then jump to... Actually, last thing is end of the period. So because it's a bit more of a housekeeping thing, right? It's March 7th. So the period will end at the end of this month. This is the first period of the year when the new 2024 contract. So we'll be keeping everything within that 2024 contract. It's also the first period where Botto will be doing, I guess technically the second period, but the first one where it'll be in that contract. So where Botto is going to be doing its own mint. We did a test of this with the Proof Grails, Grails number 5. Where Botto took all of the mints from the previous period of absurdism and picked the closest fit, took its learnings from the mints themselves, picked the closest fit as its own choice from unpresented works. So Botto's now created over 3 million images, and Botto will select from that large, large pool that have never been presented, and that'll be the 13th mint. It goes directly to the treasury. So that also kind of acts as our buffer period between periods. That also means we have the theme vote coming up. Chibi, do you know when that goes up?
Yeah, 5 days from now, Tuesday, 22 European time, 4 p.m. Eastern. I think that makes it, what, 11 a.m. Pacific? Bad at maths. Anyway, as soon as the new round starts next week, then themes will be up and running. And then we'll have a period of 1 week to vote. And then that, what used to be a buffer period of 1 week, now in the context of this coming year, the 13th week or the 13th round, where Botto selects his own artwork, Botto will also be concurrently creating new fragments based on the new period selected. So that's the setup moving forward. But yeah, theme voting next week.
So it's 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific when that goes live. So same as the round. Yeah. And this is, again, going with the period standardization. So there's no BIP for the new period. There hasn't been a model that has come up to add some context there. Two things is, one, there was no new model added for this last period. And I actually find that pretty interesting given, at least personally, and I think there's some good evidence here that this is the best or at least best critically received period since Genesis. And there was no new model added. So I think there's maybe something to be said for having Botto explore the existing models more deeply. Our current setup is when a model's added, that gets some precedence. And so maybe that adds a bit of noise. There's a long draw of novelty in there because of what that new model's presenting. So, and we've gotten some really strong pieces. The photograph last week was Stable Diffusion 1.5. You know, that was the first diffusion model we added. So pretty sure I got that right. Now I'm second guessing myself. I'm almost positive it was Stable Diffusion 1.5. So definitely I'm second guessing myself. In any case, not necessarily adding a new model, I think is interesting. There is still plenty of potential to add new models. There is an important caveat where stability introduced a commercial license and for their new models. So the way we've been doing the work with Botto is open source models, no need for a commercial license, gives total freedom. And their commercial license is pretty onerous in terms of certain caveats about audits and basically access within the protocol that just doesn't work for Botto. So working with them actually to see if we can get a special agreement set up for Botto. So stay tuned there. In any case, like Stable Diffusion 3 is out, but it's not even out for anything other than research purposes. So it wouldn't even be available for Botto quite yet. So yeah, so
I mean,
so
one model maybe to look at is Kandinsky 2.2.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily for the coming period, but you know, like I think the DAO could be open to considering 2.2. You know, I think 2.1 is running currently in Botto's art engine, and I think there have been some Kandinsky mints already, right? 2.2 apparently has better control and over, you know, understanding text to image because there's a new version of Clip integrated into Kandinsky 2.2. So I do think it's worth considering. We did briefly look at it, but we haven't gotten a BIP up. And, you know, that's the standardized process. I wouldn't be against looking into 2.2 for the integration of, like, in the period to come. I think the third period within 2024. But, yeah, like, I think you outlined the whole stability commercial licensing thing very well. So I think it's a bit of a waiting game and talking to stability. But, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, again, all that to say, I think it's been pretty amazing to see what Botto's been able to do without adding a new model this period. So I think it's really promising just to see that Botto's able to really achieve growth without simply adding new models. So all very positive. And I think that's probably a good transition to the lab. You want to talk about that, Chuby, what we got cooking there?
Yeah, so target date is the 13th week of this period, where hopefully we're launching a front end, which is pretty much a precursor to something we've dubbed as the lab. But basically, we would be allowing ourselves as a DAO to interact with Botto as Botto starts learning how to become a creative coder and basically build up a group of P5JS artworks. So there will be some form of natural language feedback baked into the front end where we are able as a DAO to drop comments onto Botto's fragments or canvases, I think more aptly calling it canvases. And we will actually be able to upvote and downvote each other's comments to send better signals to the DAO. So there's an element of natural language feedback in place. I think conceptually the lab is basically, it's basically something we're baking into the newer version of the app, which allows us to aggregate newer forms of data, which we can then look to integrate into Botto's art engine, right? So first it's about that data aggregation, finding new data points for Botto to play with, and also finding new spaces or areas within the app for us to play. So, you know, it could be something as simple as cropping an existing artwork of Botto, right, on the DAO side. So you or I kind of finding an element within the Botto fragment, cropping it and then indicating to Botto, maybe in natural language form as well, what we find aesthetically pleasing about it or an area of improvement. And maybe that's a data point that we would then be able to feed Botto and Botto could do something with it. So the lab is really like a playground element to Botto as an app and for us as a DAO to kind of, yeah, build up more data points, find out what works, maybe experiment with different ways to vote. Yeah, I think it's pretty limitless in what we can do with the lab. And I think we should treat it and understand it as pretty much sandboxed environments here. That's exactly what this P5JS iteration will look like, right? It is technically sandboxed. So it would be running as, let's say, an independent microsite. And that's why also we call it, or we frame it as a precursor to the lab, because it isn't natively integrated into the new version of the app because the timings don't align. But it will be there. And I think it's a great baseline, a great foundation for us to move further. Right. I think that's pretty much everything I wanted to say about that. But I don't know if you have anything to add, Simon. Maybe providing a bit more context on P5JS. That'd be really
sure.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, and I think just to summarize, creating this place for us to try things without, you know, making official new directions for Botto is really important for flexibility to kind of be able to move quickly and push things, because the governance process can be quite challenging when we just don't know, you know, how is Botto going to play with P5JS? How is it going to learn and develop? And, you know, part of this is an idea where, you know, looking at different possible new mediums for Botto to play with. P5JS is I'm trying to remember where it started. I don't know. I really don't remember how it came up initially, but it's just been something where we've been talking about it for like almost a year of Botto going into new mediums, writing its own code. And I think some of it honestly just came from like this kind of ambiguity in the term generative art, which is a very, very wide umbrella. But in crypto art, it tends to mean, you know, more particular type of art, which is usually the long form generative art, right? So this generative code, you introduce randomization through a hash and it generates these images, and you do a set of 10,000, right? What Tyler Hobbs called long form generative art. And it's very, very tightly designed for a really, really strong aesthetic. You know, and there's this interaction process. And Botto being a kind of generative art, but obviously very different, you know, using generative models and this idea around autonomy, and then working with the DAO, lots and lots of differences. And, you know, I think it partly came from that, of just like, what if Botto was to go and play in that generative art world? And then as things have developed, you know, this discussion of AI art being the next meta, of a generative artist doing generative art, there's I think some interesting interplay there, and all of this being in the context of Botto exploring new mediums. So I would also say that kind of just in some early discussions with collectors and curators, really strong interest, are very, very, I mean, I've seen people jumping out of their seats at this potential idea. So I think a lot of very strong interest. I've even seen Superchief, I think, hinting at generative AI models doing their own interpretation of AI art, which this is not. That's, I think, this is really a step ahead, one or two ahead of that, where it's not, you know, even people have brought up pieces in curation that, oh, this kind of reminds me of this generative art collection. This is not a diffusion model doing works that look like generative art. This is a large language model writing code that can produce, you know, what is traditionally known as generative art, at least traditionally within the crypto art world. So I think there's some really interesting questions here about how does Botto develop that ability. I've seen some early tests that are, I would say, P5JS 101 to be sure, but also shows incredible hints of promise of how Botto can develop over time. And it's this experiment that is going to bear out a lot of really important outcomes. One most directly just being the ability to give natural language feedback. That itself is a massive improvement, and being able to bring that to bear, I think, is really important. The other part is having Botto learning through iterations and developing an ability with that code, crossing these different parent algorithms into more and more complex, that create more complex outputs. So, and being able to do that as a DAO, work with Botto as we go, and seeing how that develops, I think is then going to give us a much better idea of, is this something to pursue? Is this a direction for Botto to do as maybe a special collection? Is there a fork here? You know, it gives us a lot of good information to then explore what could that look like, or, you know, do we pursue it at all? So yeah, that's I'll stop there. I see Raugo's come up. Yeah, always love your input, man. What's up? Mute button, or maybe you just wanted to come and hang out on stage. I can give you a second to, unless I've just like completely gone off the rails and nobody can hear me and I'm talking to myself, which I hope isn't the case.
You're good. I think okay. Raugo maybe just wanted to hang out on stage, you know, collect.
That's fine. That's fine. He's dipped out. Well, if you do have a question or want to come back up, like, feel free to raise your hand.
We can circle back to the gen art part as well later. I'm cool with that.
Totally. So yeah, some really interesting questions here about experimenting with new mediums, new types of feedback, new types of outputs, considering what it would be like to do a special collection. You know, we're very, very sensitive to the 52 a week. And, you know, if Botto's going to do new work, having a very meaningful differentiation from that core weekly period. And that's something I really invite a lot of discussion on. I have a lot of my own ideas, but I think I really want to hear people out on that. I have a lot of ideas of how I think this can work and different paths to that, depending on people's feedback. But I do think it's meaningfully different, and there's a really strong way to maintain the 52 a week as the kind of the spine of Botto's work, this, you know, very, very clear and clean development of its aesthetic over time, these static images kind of being the purest form of Botto's experiment. So I see Ralgo typing. So last one. Yeah. Okay. So I hear that you're in agreement. I see what you mean. So having base P5.js created images and put the AI model on top of that. So that's actually come up a couple times in different conversations as a possibility of, especially, you know, depending on where Botto can get with P5.js, maybe more closely integrating it with its process and model. I personally think there's something to Botto doing a pure P5.js work, but there's a couple collections people have pointed out to me of people doing that process, you know, bringing in either interpretations of the mprops. Yeah, people doing interpretations of it with, I'm just looking up mprops again. Can you actually, do you think you could come up and explain this, Ralgo? Because I don't think I could properly explain it. But I have, because I've seen different iterations on this idea. Let's see if you can come up. See if you can do it this time. No, he's not even in the town hall anymore. He's gone. He's probably trying to reconnect. That always seems to work. Just simply turn it on and off. But anyways, I've seen different iterations of whether it's feeding. Yeah, just making use of the P5.js outputs into a generative work. A couple different approaches there that kind of make these more, say, rich images. I don't even know if that's the right term. I'm still kind of sorting through a few of those different approaches. And I think it's certainly a good question to consider how we integrate this further into Botto, what this collection could potentially look like. So hopefully Ralgo can make it back in here, or maybe he can share some more info. I'm just going to drop the link of what he was talking about with mprops. I know that I need to spend a little bit more time with these different versions. There was also one on VerseWorks. So Sync, maybe you know more about this stuff as well.
Hi guys, do you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. Actually, I'm going to defer to Ralgo. I'm going to let him talk first because it looks like he has his hand raised, because my topic is separate. So I'll come back.
Right there, I'm up. Hi guys. Sorry about that.
Hey Ralgo. Welcome.
Technical issues as usual. Yeah, I'm just saying and something I've been playing around a lot with on the mprop side is they've integrated in effectively, you've got a P5.js model that you can create, or an algorithm that you can create, and then you put the prompts and AI and Stable Diffusion on top of it, and it's really interesting and powerful, because a lot of the things around P5.js are that you're doing an awful lot of quite technical stuff, a lot of things end up coming out fairly similar, and there's similar texture ideas and similar structures. And you start to see, I mean, I think as a lot of people have probably seen, that a lot of the P5.js and generative projects start coming out a little bit similar in certain ways. And the beauty about sticking some AI models on top of it using an image-to-image type base, is that you start to be able to explore a huge new reservoir, a huge new pool of aesthetics which use the generative images as a base, but then start to be able to expand them out. I mean, a lot of the problem with P5.js and the detail side is getting a lot of really extra detail parts or the textures or whatever else. And all of a sudden with the AI, you can start to get a lot more power and come up with a lot more aesthetically appealing works without having to write another 100,000 lines of code, for instance. So I kind of quite like that mix of tying in the P5JS with an AI model on top of it.
Yeah, I think you have a really strong point there. And again, that's part of why it's come up is ways that we can make it much more rich. I do think, I mean, personally, I'm kind of interested in how far Botto can push just P5JS. In part, I think there's an interesting parallel there with how you looking at some of Botto's works. They are derivative of recognizable works of art history. And to me, I think that exploration, there's something almost comical about it that I think is interesting. And what I love about it is there's a lot of different perspectives you can take on it. You can take something more positive or negative or satirical about it that I think can drive that discussion. Whereas adding in the image to image, I think pulls away from that a little bit more, and kind of it ends up adding a more complex route to what Botto's already doing. But it itself could be quite interesting. And what I think, you know, what you're bringing up, I think, highlights is through this lab approach, we're able to develop this consideration of what's going to work as a DAO for what is, you know, a complex process collectively, right? This is the thing where trying to do all this stuff internally or figure out the BIP, that the proposal that like perfectly predicts the development process for something that frankly, like, we don't know how this is going to turn out. It is actually, I think, very, very exciting for the DAO as a proof of our ability to develop complex concepts together collectively. So so I think that's going to be a very interesting thing to keep in mind as we go looking at these other examples. I shared another one from Verse, which also did that process. I couldn't find a write up on his process, but that they were telling me that was his process and harm.
Well, that was my process on my first one as well. And who was it who did it on? I think, is it Fernando Gires, who on his Brain Drops one, where he copied across the stuff from his Art Blocks release, and he did a Brain Drop one on that, mm-hmm. using that approach, which was quite interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It says UBK builds on the UMK pieces and fusing them with AI driven context. So I do think that's it's interesting, but I do wonder about, like, in a way sort of exploring, like, conceptually, in a way, what Botto is doing is Botto is exploring the latent space of these very, very large text to image generative models, right? These models of kind of many vectors of visual space, and it's exploring that. And so the P5JS setup is in a way exploring what is conceptually a very large latent space of potential outputs from P5JS, which itself is massive. And so that's the thing. I wonder about that. And I don't have an answer. I think it's a very, very interesting discussion and to see how Botto
develops. It certainly is. There are some people who tried some AI generative stuff on FX Hash for a bit, but that kind of fell away as FX Hash fell away. But there were certainly a few experiments going on there at that time.
And I think, you know, just again, kind of judging from some murmurs I've seen from Superchief and I think a couple others, again, this is like scrolling on Twitter, so I never totally remember where I see these things, but I think we will probably see some similar takes on this approach. Nothing quite as, I probably shouldn't use this word for our own project, but nothing as sophisticated as what we're approaching with Botto. But I think that'll also be an interesting thing to keep an eye on, just seeing how the market develops, because obviously that's creating more context in which Botto would present this work, and, you know, something to keep in mind as well. So, thank you so much for highlighting that. Really excited to be presenting this. We're doing internal testing starting tomorrow and should have something out the next couple of weeks.
Sounds awesome. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Rocco. And I think I know you. I don't know why I just muted myself. I know you had some other topic you wanted to speak about. I think we can run through the remaining topics, and we wanted to leave some time at the end. But if you also wanted to type into the chat the topic you wanted to chat about, the remaining things I have on the list are, curation competition, Omnichain and Frames, and upcoming BIPs. I have a feeling you maybe want to talk about upcoming BIPs. We could quickly run through just kind of where we're at with the curation competition, Omnichain and Frames. Not much news there, really. Just a reminder that the curation competition is ongoing, and to definitely check that out. I think it's a very, really great way to kind of add to the curatorial work. This one in particular is helping with surfacing some of the iconic unminted works from previous periods, which I think is going to be a really valuable archive to have for, you know, potential future derivative drops or other experiments with Botto. You know, I know I still think about some of the unminted works from Genesis. And so pulling those out, I think, is a really valuable archive to keep. There's, you know, Invisible Alchemy, which we did with at the Miami Art Week, I think is also been an interesting way of capturing that, of kind of those top voted discards each week. That is, does remind me, we're going to be probably putting forward a proposal to continue that for the coming periods, just working on a potential partner to do that with, and we'll put something up there. So I think kind of through that work, capturing those themes, but also through these archives, having that material to easily reference for future ideas, I think is really powerful. And it helps with, you know, maintaining the lore around Botto's development over time. There's a lot of that energy of stuff that doesn't lead to mints. And Raga, you brought this up, you know, those pieces are dearly missed. And so how do we bring those to the surface in some way without kind of breaking the structure of those 52 a year? It's those not winning that makes those ones that do win, I think, all the more important to consider. So that's the curation competition. Real quick on some Omnichain stuff. I don't know if we released this number, but the mint, the Botto's first frame that we released with an access pass on Farcast, which is on Base. So it came with an access pass on Base. There were 8,700. Wallets and mints that did that. So, you know, just for context, I think we had around 5,000, you know, unique wallet participants before. And so more than doubled participants in a single shot in a matter of like 2 or 3 days. You know, obviously not the same level of participation through that, but I think really powerful growth potential. You know, I know that especially during the bear, you know, thinking that we've saturated, you know, our growth in crypto, you know, everyone who knows about Botto is going to know about Botto. And it was nice to be reminded how wrong I was to present that through Farcast or these other chains. And I think there's potential for other chains where there's a lot of users, low-cost transactions that enable that kind of onboarding to really build out the user base and drive more of that participatory energy into Botto. So we plan on continuing the work with Frames to experiment there and have some other ideas that we're queuing up for ways to work with other L2s in terms of driving growth. And to be clear, you know, this could change in terms of what the DAO wants, but as far as I can see, I don't think anybody's interested, nor us, in minting artwork on other chains. This is really talking about creating access through those other chains and potentially doing some derivative drops from the DAO there to drive that growth and to make it interesting for those potential users. So very, very interesting developments there. Again, 8,700 was just an incredible number to see. So, and then
maybe a little note about that. Like, yeah. I think the key thing to stress here is, you know, the base access passes, I think, are a fantastic kind of head nod to the proof of concept of, you know, Botto. No, can you hear me?
You cut out.
Well, what I wanted to say, you can hear me now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what I wanted to say is that, you know, the Botto access passes on base and the frame in general, I think, are a really, really good kind of head nod to it being a proof of concept of scaling the DAO,
you
know, in and through other chains, right? So, you know, that's one. There were over, I think, 7,000 Botto access pass mints within the first 24 hours. And I think the relayer actually ended up getting emptied within more or less, I think, 36 hours, and we had to top it up, et cetera, et cetera. So fantastic, a great head nod, you know. And then on that, a related note, and maybe just kind of like a bit of a signal of what we're working on app side. So right now, you know, you claim your ETH rewards if you're an active voting participant and have more than 2K Botto staked, which is a separate discussion topic. But if you have more than 2K Botto staked at the moment and you're voting, you're eligible for ETH rewards based on the auction revenue end of the week or end of the round. But you currently claim that on mainnet. And I think a lot of us probably noticed that, you know, gas is pretty much extortionate at this point. You know, if ETH is busy,
you're paying what, $100 to claim. So that's, you know, detrimental. I think it's a bottleneck, right? But, and this was raised in the DAO, in our DAO chat. I forgot which channel, but Nate, you know, natively on Discord. And I think Sync, you even participated in this discussion, like bringing these faucets that we have for you to claim the ETH reward to other chains. I mean, yes, it is doable. It is something that we're committed to. So, you know, hypothetically, you can claim ETH natively on base sooner rather than later. So that's something that's coming. I think it's a welcome addition where you basically just select your chain and you claim your ETH. So just wanted to pop that in and kind of add to that.
Yeah, I think that's a good transition. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, finish.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, like, currently, you know, if you are looking to claim your ETH rewards, might be worth waiting for this change because your ETH rewards aren't going anywhere. But one thing we're just trying to figure out is how to ensure that you're able to claim ETH rewards on like your current ETH rewards on another chain rather than, you know, just from the point of release. So you can claim retroactively later on. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. But yeah, Simon, go on.
No, I think it's a good transition into BIPs. You know, I think there's a lot of kind of trailing little improvements and some, obviously some larger BIPs, you know, just to add on to that. You know, I don't even think that necessarily requires a BIP. I have to think a little bit more about the logistics of that. But, you know, claiming on other chains, you know, I think there's been some other things, like people have been proposing reducing the staking threshold to participate in rewards. I think there's some, you know, some potentially good cause for that, given the increase in the price of Botto. Burning, you know, there's been some discussion around burning Botto for VP, which I think introduces a really interesting dynamic. There's some questions about how to design that. There was one, I think this one is much less clear to me, but interesting idea all the same, which was bridging Botto to another chain. I've seen some players do that. I think there's a lot of other more important, big questions to address before that. But I think there's a lot of little interesting things before things like that to consider to kind of make Botto more accessible, more fun. And yeah, Chubby, you want to speak on the other BIPs coming up?
I remember a lot this time last month, I was talking about the ETH staking BIP that still needs to be put to a snapshot. And then there's liquidity mining BIP that needs to be put to a snapshot. Those are the two main ones, I think. The one after that, that's kind of lined up. And this is something that DAO really, you know, we really need to find consensus on, which I think we have already, is basically changing the way we save or store voting points. And I lobbied, and this was around a month ago, but I lobbied in Discord for us to have VP voting that resets every week. So the VP that you generate resets every single round. You know, it becomes a very much a use it or lose it. Assuming an influx in new DAO members, more voters, it's far more cost efficient dev side because we're not making API calls every 15 seconds, right? It's a one a week thing. It's lighter, and that there are a host of other reasons I'm happy to dig up and find. I'll find it when I'm not talking. I'll link it in the discussion. But that's also a bit that's on the way. Just need to formulate it. I don't know if there's more, Simon.
No, you covered the one I was trying to remember, which was the potential weekly reset, you know, and I think that we could probably fold a few of the adjustments into there, such as like reducing the threshold. Maybe it's too much of a can of worms and we need to separate. But yeah, I mean, for me, that's been on my mind for a while now. And we're already kind of like, for a while, it was like, you know, it's not the most urgent. We just kind of need to do it before bull market takes off and Botto blows up again. And that's, you know, that's like starting to come very fast. And you know, just to clarify, you know, the thinking there is there's a lot of wallets. I think there's well over 2,000 staked wallets. And I think voting is more like around 300. And so, you know, are some people intentionally saving votes? Maybe. I know for a fact, though, I know a lot of people who got the airdrop, staked it, and just forgot about it. And they've been earning, you know, a yield on that for a while. So there's something that they've been gaining there. But, you know, if it's just been forgotten and then you come back having not participated, does it make sense for them to have kind of this outright stake? Probably not. And I think that, you know, you have other, you could argue for kind of a natural rebalancing of supply and demand as Botto's sales go up. You know, that balance, like, or as auto sales go down, there will be less voters, and so that there's less dilution. But that's still already the case if you have weekly resets. So all this to say, I think that we should introduce it. I do think that we should have an unwinding period, you know, for those who are paying attention, who are intentionally saving up, give them a chance to use what they've saved up. But so more to come. We definitely a bit of a backlog there in terms of BIPs, but I think that we'll have some pretty rapid developments there. So yeah, if there's not anything else from YouTube, I see Sync's hand raised. I can bring you up. Hang on.
Hey guys, hear me okay?
Yeah. How you doing?
Great. So yeah, real quick, you brought it up, the liquidity mining BIP. You know, me and several others commenting on that proposal, by and large, I think there's agreement with the spirit of the proposal in terms of, you know, setting aside some BATO from the treasury to explore, you know, increasing protocol and liquidity, potentially exploring, you know, reputable exchange listings. But the one thing I personally have some, you know, reservations about, and others have expressed as well, is modifying the liquidity mining incentives. I think to me, this particularly hit home after the single-sided staking rewards ended on the 22nd of February. Like, you know, there's a good consistency in governance is something that very few DAOs have. And one thing that I like about BATO DAO is that we've had to maneuver along the way, but we've held, once we've committed to stuff, like we commit to it, you know? So for example, single-sided staking rewards, you know, that was allocated for 2 years and it ended. And the terms were very clear in the documents. People could enter and knew when the end date was, and that's it, right? That's a wrap. So for me, modifying the liquidity mining incentives at this point would not look, for me, it would look bad for the DAO, because we would be doing, this would be the second extension. And I just think with the momentum we have right now, number two, people that might have entered as LPs within the past month or two, I mean, they have considerable and permanent loss already just from the price appreciation. So I just want to throw that out there just because I know there's not many people that speak up. So I'm just throwing that out there as something for consideration. And I would encourage people, if they haven't reflected on this, there's a discussion about this. There's a discussion thread in the governance topics section of the Discord. So feel free to share your feedback there. Other than that, I just wanted to say, you know, good job. And, you know, I'm glad to see that BATO is finally getting some recognition. I just have one final question or remark, and maybe we can talk about this more in depth on later town hall. But, you know, in speaking to some people that I've been trying to introduce to BATO, you know, primarily in the DeFi space, because that's where I come from. You know, one of the feedback I get is regarding like the distribution of project revenue, right? We have 50% for active participants and then 50% to the treasury. And so some of the questions I've gotten is, well, how are we assured that 50% is going to be, you know, is that an assurance, right? Is there some baseline that we can work with, number one? And number two, is there a progressive trajectory for potentially majority of project revenue going to active voters? And so I know progressive decentralization is something that, you know, on the BATO DAO website, and something that you guys have talked about a lot. So I'm happy to talk about this more in depth later. But the case study I've been thinking about a lot recently is the Ethereum Foundation and how they worked with, you know, with their allocation of ETH at the crowd sale and how they've managed their treasury since then. And I think in many ways, there's a lot of parallels with how BATO's been working, and just want to, you know, use that as a case study. So I may even potentially put up a governance topics discussion about this with a more detail. Maybe we can revisit this in a later town hall, but for the near term, because the BIP is coming up, the liquidity mining is something I just wanted to throw that comment out there if others had any feedback.
Very quickly, Sync, just for clarification, when you talk about like erring on the side of caution regarding modifications, did I hear correctly that you were generally okay with the liquidity mining BIP as is?
Yeah, it's generally, I would just leave it as, right. Let it expire in October 2024. as already documented. Like, I know there's a request to extend it to October 2025, but to me, that would, it would be unfair to LPs that just entered within the past few months, especially because, you know, I mean, their impermanent loss is already considerable with the price appreciation. Then I did see Caleb's comment, and Caleb, I will definitely acknowledge that comment, and I'll leave that discussion aside because that's a whole separate discussion. I'll probably start a governance topic discussion to kind of spell it out a little bit more, but regarding the active reward stuff. So for now, the primary focus of why I came on the stage was I just wanted to speak up about the liquidity mining. So,
right. Cool. Yeah, I totally understand, and I appreciate you coming up on stage. I mean, you know, like I think it also boils down to what is to the greatest benefit of Botto as a project, right? Like, and I think that's a major consideration to make when talking about liquidity mining incentives. You know, very matter of factly here, a market maker costs less than the liquidity mining program at Botto's current price. Right. And I think that's something that should be a bit of an eye opener to some who are interested in this discussion. I think we should, you know, we can definitely talk about it more in a governance topic thread that you set up, Sync, or we can take it on the existing liquidity mining incentives BIP, either on the forum or just on the forum discussion on Discord. Right. So I think that's something to be mindful of. You know, I think Caleb's comment is highly relevant here, and I would also err on the side of caution when talking about distributing 50% or more than 50% of the ETH rewards just directly back to Botto DAO participants. My humble opinion here is that we actually need to recalibrate expectations of incentives within the DAO, right? Somebody who spends 10 minutes of their time shouldn't necessarily be earning, I think, you know, up to $1,000 or something, and if you want to denominate in USD in value, maybe so because of their stake, I'm not sure, right? But you know, I do think that is something to consider recalibrating, because if the moment we start allocating more ETH rewards directly to participants is the moment we also stifle our propensity to do our jobs, right, on behalf of the DAO or as the DAO, right? So I just have to say, like, we should be very careful there. But yeah, definitely let's pick up more on that on async, like in async. I think this might also, you know, when I talk about recalibrating expectations of incentive or talk about incentive, you know, we, I think Sync, you and I even spoke about looking at alternative ways to incentivize liquidity providers, right? Maybe a portion of that 50% goes to liquidity providers natively, either, you know, through the proxy of VP so that they have more VP to allocate, or a larger portion of that 50% of rewards. There are loads of possibilities here. I do think we need to more proactively as a DAO tackle those ideas and entertain those ideas. But yeah, I'll leave it at that for the time being. I think on the note of VP, and also I saw discussions about, you know, reducing the amount required to stake. And then some people were pushing back saying, oh, it's dilutive of the ETH rewards that somebody may receive, right? I think we need to also consider the value of VP. So maybe there'll be a decentralized contribution coming up, because we do have a lot of that data just actually sat in a Google sheet where we can calculate the assumed fair value of VP. I think I've seen Encrypt has tried to do it a couple of times, but those numbers would be very helpful for us as a DAO to make a more informed decision. And then also on that note, you know, on the note of changing VP or the quantity staked or anything along those lines, right? We should also consider the DAO derivative in the form of a pipe, right? Does anything happen there? What if the DAO does another collection or derivative collection? How much VP should that earn? So I think having a more robust kind of understanding of our system of VP is required to make these informed decisions. But I have no doubt we'll get there. But I think maybe the discussion should kind of focus itself around that assumed fair value of VP. That's what my gut tells me. But yeah, I'll leave it at that.
I just want to add, you know, I think that, appreciate you coming up here, Sync, because I think some of these things are, you know, really fit for a town hall where it definitely seems like it's going to be harder to find full consensus on some of these topics, and it does may need to just come down to the vote. You know, we've definitely tried to come at these things at all governance decisions is trying to really find clear consensus, you know, and you know, with some of these larger ones, you know, there's certainly is going to come up some stuff around large voters and where they might try and push things. But I think having kind of more voice conversations helps, I think, reveal the different groups. And, you know, I think there can be things where we can more easily maybe find different solutions or compromises. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely lots to discuss there. I think in terms of changing direction, certainly like the more recent additions to the liquidity pool is a consideration to make. But yeah, as Chubby said, it really important. I think we look at this from kind of long-term sustainability of Botto. And that includes also the considerations of where does revenue go. You know, it's one way of looking at the treasury and the distribution of treasury is, you know, that is governed by everybody. So it is still going to everybody. Obviously, like a lot of that is claimed by existing budget, but, you know, I think important to think about how these long-term setups can work. And that, you know, when would we be able to do that? I think that is probably a ways off. But yeah, anyways, I think really, really great to be able to kind of talk about it, and probably will be subject for another town hall as well. Anyways, it's about 5 minutes past the hour, probably a good time to wrap it up there.
Did you cover the NYC stuff?
Yeah, you know, briefly. Mostly like we have a lot of things cooking up. There's no links as of yet, but I can say I think Botto's going to have, you know, a great presence there. Just again, shouting out Mika and the great work she's done in terms of turning inbound interest into a very strong physical presence at these events. So
yeah, I mean, I don't want to steal Mika's thunder, but if any of you are in New York, right, it might be worth reserving the 2nd and the 3rd of April. That's all I'm going to say. But, you know, if you are in town on those dates, yeah, I'd be happy to meet up. That's all I can say. But yeah, I'll let Mika do all the announcement work there. You know, it's all her legwork. So very, very happy.
Cool. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. Really appreciate folks coming up for the discussions, too. All right. Talk soon.
Take care. See ya.